Welcome to Real Estate Hackers, where you'll hear how real estate investors grew something from nothing.
Property management is going to become more tech.
Our entire business today is based off of a hack.
What if you could put $1,000 into an apartment building project on your phone?
With YouTube, with podcasts, you can catch up very quickly to a seasoned investor.
Now here's your real estate hacker host, Chad Gallagher.
Today's episode is part of our Landlord Chronicle series, where we hear from amazing landlords about their most interesting landlording story, along with a lesson to help you invest better. What is up, folks? I am indeed super pumped today on my good friends in the studio. We're in the Real Estate Hacker Studio.
All right. This is exciting, cool, right? Very exciting. Yes.
And, we don't do a lot of episodes in person since we interview people from all over the world at this point. But Ari Schneider, he's a local, and he said, hey, I'll come on your show.
Yeah.
He's got a Landlord Chronicle story for us. First, some background on Ari. Did we have you on this show before?
I think, yeah. Multifamily joint ventures, like...
Second time on.
A couple of years ago.
You might be the first time ever to be on here twice.
I'm the first double-dipping guy.
That's right? A big deal.
I'm the first double-dipping.
That's a big deal. So, Ari is a cool dude, has invested in a wide range of assets. Single-family homes, multifamily, commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You had someone create a mural
Create a mural. Yeah.
Tell us that story really quick.
So I had a building, and it had a really ugly-looking wall, and I wanted to put a cool mural because I thought it would kind of revitalize the downtown and be good for
property
values.
This is in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
So no one was doing it for me, and so I basically saw a former NFL player. His name is Jared Odrick, which you met, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Through that
Jared.
One meeting, we met up with him. Really cool dude. He's like he's doing like Porsche car racing. That's his thing now. So he's moved. But anyway, we partnered together to create this mural, and we got this muralist, which is BK Fox, who's an internationally renowned muralist. And it was a pretty cool project. You know, it was a cool art project.
Awesome.
Looks really nice. It's a recreation of a Norman Rockwell, and it looks for like a modern take on a Norman Rockwell, and
that's really cool. This is on the side of one of your like multifamily buildings.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's like, I want to say it's like 50, 60 feet high. It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. You can see it from a long way away.
That's awesome. The point of that was kind of just give back to the community, create some real live art.
Yes, exactly. It's just a gift back to the people of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, because we've invested there. You know, we've done pretty well there, and we kind of want to give back to create an artistic, because we're also working on this project. It's called Accelerate Lebanon, where we're improving live, work, play, kind of like the improving the housing stock, creating more jobs for the city, and also the play, which is amenities, fun things to do, and also like public art and stuff like that. So the mural was a big part of that. We're going to try to do a mural fest for 2024, kind of like Harrisburg did in the past. So we're working through a couple projects like that.
What is a mural fest?
It's basically one day where we get a list of walls and people who want to do stuff. We raise money, and then we get like internationally renowned artists, you know, that would come and do really cool stuff, where it's hard to do it kind of onesie-twosie in some of these towns that aren't that big, you know what I mean? That's the game plan.
So it's almost like a competition. Like,
yeah.
Like the winning mural gets 20 grand or something.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna pay them all for their time, but yeah, we're gonna do, to incentivize them to do their best.
That sounds pretty cool. Count me in to something. I don't know. Do I have a wall in Lebanon? No. I have a wall in Lancaster. Is this a Lebanon thing?
Yeah, but you can, you know. I'm sure Lancaster is a big enough city to probably already have something like that. Harrisburg has Sprocket Mural Works. They're doing one in York. They're doing a York, you know, mural works.
So I have a wall in Lancaster that would work for this. Can we make it a Lancaster thing? Or you want to be Lebanon thing?
No, I mean, there's no reason why. You know, it's just too far away to be part of the same fest, but I'm sure we could do like a Lancaster-Lebanon
fest. You want to just
Lancaster-Lebanon fest. If all you got is one wall in Lancaster...
I got one wall. I got some friends who watch these shows.
All right. If anybody wants to compile some walls, let's do a major festival. We'll do a major art
fest. I'm going to Facebook post that. Call this thing. You got me excited. This is good. This is why having a podcast is cool.
Yeah.
And you basically call yourself like it's like a private equity company at this point.
Yeah, so it's Name is Capital Group. We've been around for over a decade. Started myself just investing single family homes, and then I ran out of money, so we had to raise capital, and then we kind of focused more on multifamily joint ventures, not as much kind of the syndication model, more joint ventures with people who also have some talent and some value to add and want to partner together. It's less kind of like just the passive doctors and lawyers living in, you know, out of state or whatever. It was more joint ventures. And we now are looking at like office, retail, things like that. And, you know, this thing came along, like the best investment I ever made is this really ugly, dumpy looking, you know, drive-through building with office on the top. You'd be like, how the heck can you make money on this thing? But it was the best investment I've ever made, you know, all through multifamily, single family, whatever. And I just wanted to tell folks about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. I want to get to your story real quick. I want to just hit on one more thing, because you're the only person I know, I'm sure a lot of people do this, the only person I know who's doing this model, which is the joint venture model. I think it's really creative. There's tons of people who own and own property. There's tons of people who leverage, you know, passive money through a syndication model. You know, there's tons of people who do seller financing and weird things like that. But you, or wholesaling, obviously, but you actually do like a small, you'll go buy a property or a project with like one person, two people.
To
basically get another active participant.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want someone just sitting in the silence. You want someone who's actually going to like grind it out with you. Or,
yeah, and do stuff and really have the fun of running a business together is, you know, because a lot of times passive investors, you're basically just buying yourself a job. You know, and I did that actually where it was technically a joint venture, but one of the partners was, you know, they were content to kind of sit on the sidelines and I got more equity because of it. But then I slowly realized that I basically just bought myself a job because you're updating and like it wasn't big enough for it to be worth my time to like, you know, report back on performance and stuff like that on an asset that's so small. So I decided to find people and partner whether they have other skill set. Like one of the best investments projects have been, I partner with someone who has a construction company and he also has a building supply company, so we can get the materials at a cheaper cost. Like if it's a value add, if there's a lot of construction involved, that's the sort of people that you want to partner with. Or like somebody who's got an eviction company, let's say.
If you got a building, you got to evict
like 20 people, like you probably want to partner with an eviction, know someone who knows about that. So I think it's like a tailor-made approach, you know, and it's a small thing because I'm not trying to be, you know, $100 million company per se. I just want to do cool projects with folks that I want to do projects with.
I love that. By the way, if anyone's out there got a project looking for someone who knows how to evict people, we are now filing 200 evictions a month through CourtZip. Isn't that wild?
That's big.
All in Pennsylvania. You were there when I first saw this idea.
Yeah.
You're probably wondering how it's going.
Good. I think
200
good.
A month.
That's good.
By the way, I mean, we don't love evictions, but it's a thing you gotta do in this industry.
And then I was talking to Nate that there's like 70,000 evictions a year, not including Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you look at your market share, is not, you know, super small. I mean, mid single digit, double digit market share.
Yeah, yeah. To like something like 3% of all evictions filed in Pennsylvania are now running through our CourtZip technology. So, and last thing, I'll get off CourtZip. It is wild. When evictions get filed properly, there's actually a lower chance of someone being evicted. Sounds crazy, but actually, when you move someone through the process, it actually keeps how much they owe down, and they're actually usually able to pay it off. Mm-hmm. As opposed to when they owe $5,000, $10,000, there's no way they're making that kind of payment up.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to your story. So, this is Landlord Chronicles. 100 investors across the world telling the stories, and you've got a cool one.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
So I was reading the newspaper, and I saw in this area that I know really well.
Like the actual newspaper? Or
email like okay. blast. And I saw like that this Wells Fargo is going dark in like a block away from where I own like 30 units. So I was like, wow, it's going dark. What exactly does that mean? So I kind of did a little bit of research, And I saw, well, it might be a good opportunity to buy an asset that's going dark because Wells Fargo's moving out. You know, it's looking dumpy. It's not good for the city. It's an eyesore. And that's a good time for people to sell. So I called up Wells Fargo. I was on hold for like 3 hours. And they're like, oh, call this REIT out of Dallas, Texas. I'm like, okay, that's the owner, REIT out of Dallas, Texas. I was looking at this REIT, and they own a bunch of stuff in Florida and Texas. They're like a Sun Belt REIT for retail, mostly. Single tenant, net lease.
It's pretty impressive you got them to tell you who owns the property.
I can't get
Wells Fargo to even tell me how much is left on a mortgage I own without sitting, you know, without answering security questions. And
yeah,
I mean, that's pretty impressive, by the way.
Yeah, because I think it was a bank teller that eventually just said, okay, I'll look it up for you. Here it is.
Okay, so REIT that's out of the South, and yeah, this was like their only asset in the North.
Yeah, they had like one in Philly and one in Central PA, and I'm like, these guys don't really want this asset. They don't care about this asset. Like, it just went dark. Like, this thing is a, you know, it's a flea for them, and it's a pain in the ass. So why don't I call? So I was on the phone trying to get to the right person in the REIT, because the REIT has the property management, they have the acquisitions, they have the legal team, they have this, and they have a lot of different people that need to be. So I got through to the acquisitions guy or dispositions guy. I remember he was, you know, really, really short with me on the phone. I called him. I was like, hey, you know, I'm interested in this property. I saw it just got dark. He's like, yeah, you know, we're not really thinking necessarily about selling it, you know, kind of giving me the hardball thing, the playing hard to get, and you know, so, you know, just give an offer. I'm like, okay, cool, awesome, we'll do. Do you have any guidance or anything like that? You know, he's like, hey, buddy, I'm not going to teach you commercial real estate. Just
boom, hang up. Wow.
And then I called him back, and I'm like, hey, any, you know, we are serious, like blah blah blah, you know, telling the story and stuff. He's like, okay, give me an offer by the end of day today, assuming it's vacant. And then he hangs up. But, and I'm like, go ahead.
Real quick, just to paint the picture here. This is like a 5,000 square foot building?
It's a 10,000 square foot building. It's on like 20,000 square foot of land, so it's got a lot of parking. If you think about a Wells Fargo on a, you know, on a busy intersection, it's like
with a drive-through,
so it's like 35,000 vehicles per day that go through this, and yeah, it's pretty big, you know. And I really didn't, so I had to start crunching the numbers on it.
So he hangs up again and says, like, look, I'm not gonna help you.
Yeah,
basically, get lost, buddy.
Yeah,
like you're like a fly. You just won't go away.
And so basically, what I did is, I looked at it, and then, you know, we did a little bit of numbers, the comps, this, that. There wasn't really good comps because it's a weird property because it's drive-through retail on the front, and it has like this little office area up on the top. It was like a central Wells Fargo for the area. So basically what I did is we crunched the numbers, and I said, well, if I get it at this price, it's going to be a home run. So I called them up. I was like, we offer $602,768 or some weird number that he probably thought I spent a lot of time on. He's like, okay, well, the income is, you know, it's got gross rents of, you know, $150,000 a year until 2024. Give me your value, you know, as leased.
Now, can I get you to explain that? Because this is confusing. So Wells Fargo's the tenant.
Yes.
And they are paying, this is what's strange to me. So their lease, even though they're leaving, they still have, like, what, 4 years on the lease?
Yeah.
At $150,000 per year.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They're basically paying for the, and it's a triple net lease.
Yeah.
They're triple net. So they're basically paying your house off, your property off.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty wild.
It is. If you see credit tenants moving out, if you see credit tenants that are no longer there, they're going to close a location, like, that's a good opportunity to call them. Like, if I, you know, I feel like, you know, get a call center working for you, like finding every single, you know, time a Wells Fargo is leaving or something like that, or like, I don't know, a Taco Bell or whatever, just like leaving that spot. Because they still have probably some time left on their lease, and they're just a big company, they don't care, and call the REIT, you know.
And then now you're trying to decide, what do you do? So they'll be on a couple of years.
Yes.
You could basically buy them out of their lease.
Yeah.
Or you just let it keep riding, and in a couple of years, then sell it, or...
So, do we... I said at the beginning that he said, make a offer on it as vacant, and then he's like, well, now here's the rent. You know, make an offer with this rent. And it was 150 grand a year. I didn't know what to do with it. So I was like, if I offer 75 grand on it, I'll make a, you know, it'll be a slam dunk. So why don't I just do that? So I just called him up and I said, 675, the whole thing, cash, close in 30 days. He's like, are you nuts? Like, we have 150 in income on this. Like, and I was like, oh, I really messed that one up. That was a stupid idea. Why did I offer half of what the annual rent was on top of what I already said? And then he, and then next day he emails me. And he's like, okay, let's do it. We'll just do it. I probably would have followed up with him in a few days, but like he's like, you could tell they didn't care about that. That's the beauty of it too. Like this REIT, this was very small for them. So we got the deal done. Few years into it, we still have, we're renting out a little parking lot space there. We rented out the top floor office to, you know, another tenant, like an office tenant. So it's pretty good. And the best news is that we recently got approached off market by an owner operator of this type of, that really likes this type of asset to do their business, that they put in an offer that was significantly higher than what we paid for it. So
it's incredible.
It's this is it's the best deal that I've ever done, and it's a weird. I mean, you take a look at that building; it's like really ugly from the '80s. You know, drive through, it looks like crap.
And you haven't like improved it at all.
I haven't really improved it too much. We did landscaping once. We did spend $3,000 on
landscaping. That's incredible. So let's recap. You bought it first. You chased the guy down through a newspaper.
Yeah.
Got hung up on three times. Bought it for $670. Triple net lease, you got financing on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cash flowing.
Yeah,
you got a few more tenants in addition to the guy who's already paying $150.
Yeah,
Wells Fargo, who's a tenant, isn't even ever there.
No,
they still come by once in a while.
Yeah,
but they're not there,
no.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
They pay for everything. At some point here in a couple of years, they're going to leave, and you've already got people who want to buy it for more.
Yeah,
than what. You did, and so you'll either sell it outright, or probably put a high-paying cash, high-paying tenant, and then sell it.
Yeah.
Either way, you're making like a lot of money in this deal.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. You've had it's weird. You've done like a bunch of small deals, right? Like single-family homes. You've done some partnerships here and there, and then a couple like pretty life-changing deals. This one, two now, right?
Two life-changing deals, I would say. Yeah.
It's incredible. Well, I hope you find more. Come back again. And then CapitalRealEstate.com. We'll put it in the notes.
So, absolutely. And so if people want to learn how to get set up for success in real estate the way I did it, or CapitalRealEstate.com/JV for joint venture model in our model, if you're interested.
That's cool. We'll tag you on YouTube. We'll suck in all your users.
All right, suck in all the juice.
All right, man. Thanks for joining, buddy.
Super pumped to be on. Thank you.
Come on. See you soon.
Super pumped.